Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. It is a rainy Tuesday. We've hit a lot of different things today. We started with, obviously, the hearings, the testimony from General Mark Milley, from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. I was not impressed, as a lot of people could have probably predicted. It felt more like the scene from The Breakfast Club where they're all just kind of hanging out and trying to answer the principal. They had no real explanation for the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. We also hit some other things. We talked about Chris Cuomo. But one thing that we haven't talked too much about is this $3.5 trillion spending plan. And the reason I haven't been too worried about it, well, there's a few reasons. One is because we're not even sure it's going to happen. And hopefully it doesn't. And two, even if it does happen, the president has assured us that this will come at no cost to any of us. In fact, it's free. It costs $3.5 trillion, but it is free. Now, John Hinderaker from Paroline Blog put this really well. He said, the idea that a $3.5 trillion boondoggle costs $0 is ridiculous. It costs $3.5 trillion. And the cost has to be paid for through a combination of increased taxes and increased debt to be serviced by future taxpayers. In neither case is the spending free. In fact, the taxes the administration proposes won't pay for the boondoggle, and it will, if passed, increase the national debt substantially. But even worse is the idea that if the increased taxes are levied on corporations and high-income taxpayers, the money is somehow free. Now, this was a part of this that was just dawning on me yesterday. I'm like, they keep saying it's free, but they keep saying that we're also going to make sure that the wealthy pay their fair share. So do they think that money that comes from wealthy people is free?
Well, all of this is free for them. They're not going to pay. The politicians aren't going to pay. We're going to pay.
And you know, I gave the example yesterday, and after I said it, I was like, oh, that might have been simplifying it too much. But it really is like if a nice, generous person takes you out to lunch and they pay the bill, and then you look at them and go, wow, wasn't that great? We got this meal for free. They would probably turn to you and say, well, technically, I did pay for it. You know, a thank you might be more deserved in this situation. So John Hinderaker writes, economists have studied the question of who pays corporate income taxes. The answer is a combination of the company's customers in the form of higher prices, its employees in the form of lower wages, and shareholders in the form of lower returns. This is not free money. In other words, it's not just the billionaires and the trillionaires and the big corporations, the big woke corporations that pay for this. The cost of these taxes and all of this $3.5 trillion spending plan will trickle down to everybody else, whether it's you're paying more at the grocery store, you're paying more for employees, whatever it is, you're going to feel it. Even at the bottom, even if you're just one of the regular Americans, as Joe Biden always describes us. Now, this did not occur to Jen Psaki. The White House press secretary did not understand this concept. Let's play this cut that is really taking over on the internet today. Cut 26. This is White House press secretary Jen Psaki.
There are some, and I'm not sure if this is the case in this report, who argue that in the past, companies have passed on these costs to consumers. I'm not sure if that's the argument being made in this report. We feel that that's unfair and absurd, and the American people would not stand for that. But I will take a closer look at this report and get you a more substantive response. Go ahead, Jackie.
Unfair and absurd?
That is false.
And I'm sorry. Let's take this really simply. I don't claim to be an economist or someone who understands all the ins and outs, but I think it's fair to say I understand it just as much as Jen Psaki does at this point after listening to that clip. So let's say that John Hinderaker is right and we do have to pay for this in the form of higher prices or employees or lower wages or shareholders or, you know, lower returns or whatever. Let's take the first one, higher prices. The American people won't stand for it. So if a company decides, listen, we're getting taxed like crazy, we're not making the same amount of profits, we're going to sell the cereal for $15 instead of $10. I know I'm using big numbers here, but let's just say we'll sell it for $5 instead of $2.50. The Americans who aren't going to stand for this, what exactly are they going to do? Are they going to take the cereal anyway? Are they going to steal it? Are they going to protest? You know, how does that work? Are we all just not going to buy things anymore? She thinks it's absurd that companies would do this. Even Jonah Goldberg, who you can imagine is usually pretty on the side of Team Biden here. He's an apologist for Joe Biden. He writes, "This is amazing. I mean, it's just a thing that happens. If a restaurant has a profit margin of $9,000 a month and you raise its taxes by $10,000 a month, do you think the owner will say, damn, we just got to lose money every month? Or do you think they'll raise the prices?" Of course they will. This administration is not in tune with reality, with basic math. And now it seems like they really want this $3.5 trillion. I don't think it's going to happen, because what I'm seeing based off Nancy Pelosi's latest move is that she is willing to work on this infrastructure deal, not the human infrastructure deal. I'm talking about the real infrastructure. Okay. I'm not talking about the childcare, free college, all that. I'm talking about like roads and bridges. I know it's so passe. Who needs that stuff? But the Republicans and the moderate Democrats are obsessed with regular infrastructure. And she recently had this big reversal where she said that she would actually vote on that bill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, this is according to NBC News, told Democrats on Monday that passage of the $550 billion infrastructure bill must not wait for President Joe Biden's multi-trillion dollar safety net bill, saying the larger package is not yet ready for a vote. "I told all of you," I should probably do this in Nancy Pelosi's voice. Hold on here. Let me see. "I told all of you that we wouldn't go on to the infrastructure bill until we had the reconciliation bill passed by the Senate. We were right on schedule to do all of that until 10 days ago, a week ago, when I heard the news and this number had to come down." In other words, she's backing off. Like, she knows they're not going to be able to get both passed, which, thank God. But I want,
what's that about?
I want to talk. I already see people calling in about this, and I'm glad, because I want to actually talk about what's in this massive $3.5 trillion, zero cost to anyone, magical unicorn spending bill. Because I finally read about it today, and I was impressed. You know, the last time I saw this much pork, I can't even remember what it was for. It was for
it was last year's budget, the one that Trump ended up having to pass on his way out.
No, he didn't pass it, though. I don't think. Did he?
Yeah, that was the one with the gender studies for Afghanistan and like shrimp on treadmills and stuff.
But I remembered him not passing on it, not signing it. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, that was the last time. The gender studies in Pakistan stuck in my head, because that's just something you don't forget. I haven't seen anything like this since then. And so I went through this today in the New York Post, and it was pretty amazing. Let's start with the one closest to my heart, which is obviously the $3 billion that is earmarked for tree equity. Now, I know my listeners pretty well. I know you guys are in your cars right now, probably coming from work. And I know what you care about. And I think the number one or number two, at least, thing that most people care about is tree equity and making sure that there's an equal amount of trees in different places in the United States. That is top of the list. You know, paying your bills, your taxes, you know, anything like that. Don't worry about it. We're talking about trees. The $3 billion earmarked by the House Agricultural Committee would be doled out to state, local, or tribal governments for tree planting and related activities to increase community tree canopy and associated societal and climate co-benefits, with a priority for projects that increase tree equity. I feel like I'm reading a different language. I don't know what any of that.
I can't imagine why you don't understand what they're trying to say.
It sounds like something is going to be happening. and we're going to spend a lot of money on it. $3 billion. And you know, I hate to make this about me, but could I just get like 1 million of that? It's really 1 million of this entire budget. It's a drop in the bucket. They're not even going to notice it's gone. Let's put it aside. 1 million. We can say it's for gender neutral hamster studies in the equity of rodents. And then you just give it to me. And I promise you, you won't hear another peep out of me. I will give this up. I will not say another word. But $3 billion for tree equity. That's a lot of trees, I would hope. And that's not all. There's also $7.5 billion for the Civilian Climate Corps, which I think was AOC's big idea. They will be carrying out conservation projects on public land, whatever that means. There's also a lot of money going to electric vehicles, electric voting machines for union elections. Again, I'm sure this is what is on everyone's to-do list every day. Is like, oh, I really hope that $3.5 trillion, I hope some of it goes to the electronic voting machines for the unions. We also have $25 million to nonprofits that are going to be dealing with, evaluating training for health professionals and all staff who interact with patients to reduce discrimination and bias in the provision of health care with a focus on maternal health care. Is that like birthing people? I don't know. Uterus havers? I'm confused by all of this. Can someone call up and explain to me? Maybe I'm just not getting it.
Birthing people.
They also want to give $78.9 billion to the IRS. None of this sounds like it's going to help me at all. I'm leaning now towards the bill that just goes to the roads and bridges, because at least that's something I can see. We will be back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and we'll take your calls. And obviously, we will play Greta Thunberg. She was out there today.
How dare you?
Angry as ever. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Eden Pure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. With over 100,000 sold and counting, the Thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. Jared, tell them why you love the Eden Pure Thunderstorm so much.
Well, I love it for my allergies because I have seasonal allergies that last all year long. And what happens is you get the scratchy throat and all that stuff, but I plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and it's that small unit. That's all you do. You plug it in to a wall outlet, you turn it on, and within minutes, it starts sending out ions, which ionizes the air around you, which creates a super oxygen, which is a fancy science way of saying good air that you can breathe. And that's why I like it, because it gets rid of the pollen, allergens, pollutants, some viruses, just nasty stuff in the air that you don't want to be breathing.
Absolutely. This is a great product, and I encourage everyone to check this out, especially when they're running their BOGO deal. Right now, Eden Pure is offering buy one, get one to my listeners this week only. So go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Grace BOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Grace BOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 3rd at midnight, and shipping is free. We'll be right back with some of your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite way to spend the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill? Civilian Climate Corps, tree equity, more money for the IRS, electronic voting machines for union elections, or anti-bias training in the healthcare industry.
I mentioned this in the first hour, but if the IRS would use some of that $79 billion to either go after MSNBC hosts who don't pay their taxes or maybe members of the Lincoln Project, I would vote for the IRS to get that money. But because I cannot guarantee that, I'm going to vote for tree equity. I stand
you
with
like
the trees.
You like popsicles?
I love, who doesn't love a tree?
Tree equity, you're running away with it at 57%. 14% say more money for the IRS, 10% anti-bias training in the healthcare industry, and civilian climate corps and electronic voting machines for union elections are tied at 9%.
See, that kind of surprises me that the civilian climate corps is so low, because that seems like it would be a really a whole new, a cottage industry, you know what I mean? You could have generations of family members getting into the climate corps industry, and it's very vague, so who knows what you'd actually have to do. I would like to join. That'd be a good place for me.
You too can mine for minerals needed for solar panels. It'll be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Eddie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, hi, Grace. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you mentioned the IRS thing, and that's pretty much there's something in that bill where they're going to get how they're going to squeeze the money out of regular people, you know, middle class, lower middle class, and record for good. That $600 transaction to the bank, right? Mm-hmm. Any $600 transaction goes right to the IRS. So small businesses, people, you know what I mean, that just want to take out $650 out of their account, you know, and they're going to hire 85,000 new agents, and they're not going to go after their rich Democratic friends. They're going to try to squeeze that money out of the, you know, regular people, out of the population.
Well, let me make sure that you don't get too worried, Eddie. I'm going to read you what this says about the money for the IRS. One of the biggest outlays in the spending proposal is for the IRS, which will get $78.9 billion over the next 10 years for strengthening tax enforcement activities and increasing voluntary compliance, expanding audits, and other enforcement activities. The bill text notes that no use of these funds is intended to increase taxes on any taxpayer with taxable income below $400,000. Though critics have warned that the increased enforcement will fall disproportionately on small businesses rather than the large corporations it is meant to affect. In other words, Eddie, you have good reason to be nervous about this. They always use that $400,000. Oh, no one, if you make less than $400,000, you're good as gold. I don't think anyone believes that, though, because it always decreases. You know, suddenly it's not $400,000. It's, oh, if your combined income is over $400,000. And then the next thing is, oh, we have to bring it lower than $400,000 because we're not getting enough money from the regular people.
Or if you have $400,000 worth of assets.
Yeah.
Like a home.
Got to read between the fine lines here. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. Just a quick, if you did a survey of the Congress people and senators, ask them how many zeros there are in a trillion. They wouldn't know. It is such a ginormous amount of money. One thing that's definitely missing here is common sense. I just heard you talking about the IRS and how they want to spend $79 billion over 10 years. Well, there's an easier way, faster way to do that. Just incentivize the IRS agents themselves. Every dollar above X amount, they get a slice of the pie. It's like an incentive. It's like, you know, a lot of businesses run. If you hit the numbers, you get a bonus. That's how I would see it. But quite frankly, we are lacking common sense here right across the board, from the president on down. And also, General Miley should be court-martialed, period. There's you don't speak to the enemy. I mean, I know I'm changing the subject a little bit here, Grace, but you don't speak to your enemies, potential enemies, and say, not to worry, we're not going to launch a strike. That
yeah.
is insanity.
No, I totally agree. As far as Milley is concerned, it's just inexcusable what he did. And I think a lot of people have actually admitted that. But as far as this spending plan goes, what will be interesting is to see if this even comes to fruition. Because now, according to the Washington Examiner, a lot of people, and I think this was actually in Politico, they get a lot of good tips from insiders that people aren't that impressed with Joe Biden's ability to work across the aisle. He's not convincing a lot of people.
What's that all about?
And there was a line in this piece, and I'll read it when we come back, and we'll also play the Greta Thunberg, as I've been teasing that for like 2 hours. But they talk about how, you know, Joe Biden has a little bit of free time that he could be utilizing. And I laughed out loud reading it because I'm like, a little bit of free time? The guy has nothing but free time.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
He calls a lid at like 11:30 a.m. What else does he have going on? We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
All right, so this is from the Washington Examiner. Try not to laugh. It says, Biden's agenda in the balance as critics ask if he's doing enough to seal the deal. President Joe Biden's multi-trillion dollar spending packages hang in the balance. But some have faulted the former senator's vote-whipping efforts and pointed to vacancies in his schedule that he could lean on to get lawmakers on board to help give his beleaguered White House a much-needed win. And then later in the article, it says, but questions have arisen about Biden's availability and what he himself will do to get the packages over the finish line. This is a quote from Jen Psaki. The president has some space in his schedule to make calls. Some space? Some space? The guy is a free bird. He has more free time than most like preschoolers. But what is he doing that he can't meet with people besides eating ice cream, which we know takes up a great deal of time for him, bike rides, PDA with Dr. Jill, Mario Kart? I don't understand.
Manufacturing.
I don't understand why he doesn't have enough time to meet with people to get these things done. This reminds me of when I told my little brother I would help him with his best man speech, and he sent it to me, and he said, here's the speech, see what you can do with it. And I opened up the document, and it said, hey, everyone, thanks so much for coming. And then I scrolled through the document, and everything was blank. And then at the end, it said, raise your glass. I said, it's all empty space. Where's the speech? And he goes, the rest of it, I'm going to kind of fill in as I go. That's what Joe Biden's schedule looks like. It's, you know, wake up, go to bed, and then blank space in the middle. They should be able to figure this out. Unless he doesn't really believe in tree equity and he doesn't actually care that much about getting it passed, which that hurts my soul to even think of, that he's not a full believer in the trees like the rest of us. Some of us believe in tree equity, Mr. President. Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Grace? Quick perspective here for 1 million seconds takes a little under 12 days, and 1 trillion seconds is about 31,700 years. So that's the difference between a million and a trillion, because I know a lot of people don't get economics and stuff in this country anymore. So, yeah,
no, that's a good way to put it. I certainly don't. I mean, I think especially as you get to the younger generations, we have no idea. I mean, we look at this money and it's just, it doesn't, at this point, it doesn't even seem real. And then it doesn't help when the older people, the ancient people like Joe Biden, are telling you, oh, no, it's actually free. Then you're going to have no idea. You're going to have no conception of what money is or what these numbers are. It's pretty wild. Thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate that. The plan here is just to spend as much money as we possibly can on things that are not going to really produce anything or make any money. We're just going to keep spending it. And everyone seems to be on board, I guess, except for Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin. They're the holdouts. Now, I did want to play a little bit of sound here. We talked about Greta Thunberg. She was at this Youth for Climate convention, and she gave a speech. And one thing that really put Greta on the map was that she chastises the leaders. You know, she says, like, you think you're doing things, but you're not actually doing anything. That sounded more like an Olga.
That
than
was
a Greta.
Very Russian, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm doing
you
what
you have stolen my youth.
Okay, well, Jared's going to be our Greta from now on. So that's her thing, though. She's very angry that people aren't doing enough. There's a meme of Greta when President Trump walked into like some sort of summit they were having, and she was so angry that he showed up. So she definitely has the passion for the business that she's in. But let's go to this speech that's getting a lot of praise from social media. This is Cut 18, Greta Thunberg.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny hugging or blah, blah, blah. Build back better, blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, blah, blah, blah.
Is she taking shots at Joe Biden? This sounds like she's directly insulting President Green himself, Joe Biden. I've never said net zero, blah, blah, blah.
You're a lying, dark-faced pony soldier.
I've never talked about green economy, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I just want to say, I have two people in here watching the show right now, and they haven't applauded for me once. And she just got up and said blah, 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 like seven times. And she got basically a standing ovation. So
how dare you?
I'm looking at both of you, and I'm ashamed that you didn't applaud for me. But she's not done yet. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, she's not done yet. This is, and it's the weirdest thing is sometimes I listen to cuts and I think I know what I'm getting. And then I listen to them and I'm like, wait a second, do I agree with Greta Thunberg? Because I kind of get what she's saying. She's sick of people using something. And you can make fun of Greta for some of her wackier speeches and whatnot. But I do want to say, I prefer people who I think believe their own BS, whether they're right or wrong. It's like the authenticity of you're out there because you fully believe in this. I'm not saying that, and I'm not making fun of Greta. Greta's, I think, still, she's still a child.
No, she's 18 now. She's 18. So she's fair game.
But she seems, you know, she might be a little misdirected. She might have been a little brainwashed by all this climate stuff, but she's still, I'm still going to say she's a kid. I don't want to be too mean or anything. But one thing I will say about Greta is I fully believe that she is committed to this and that she really believes it. And I think her point is that some of these people aren't true climate nuts. Like Joe Biden will use climate when it's convenient for him when he's running for president, but he doesn't actually buy this tree equity BS. Maybe that's why instead of pushing for this big free $3.5 trillion spending bill, he's bike riding and pulling his dog's tail when he walks out of the shower. He's walking out of the shower, not the dog. I don't think the dog. The dog's just in the bathroom. But there is a difference between people who are using this, like the Ed Markeys of the world, who are using this for the politics behind it, to look hip with the kids, you know, who like carry the skateboard around and go, ooh, I like tree equity too, vote for me. And they have like gray hair and they're old. It reminds me of Creed in The Office when he dyes his hair with the printer ink. They just want to seem hip, so they pretend to buy into this. And then there's a group of people, the AOCs, the Greta Thunbergs, who really believe, who are part of this cult, and they're dedicated, you know, and they're passionate. And so I think she's kind of going in the right direction here by calling out Joe Biden for being a complete phony. Joe Biden's whole thing was that he was a moderate. And then now he's trying to please the Greta Thunbergs of the world. So to hear Greta Thunberg say, I don't even buy your shtick, I kind of like that. Blah, blah, blah. That's how I'm going to end. Anytime I run out of words on this show, I'm just going to say blah, blah, blah. Let's go to cut 19.
What do we want? When do we want it? What do we want? When do we want it?
All right, wait. Maybe I go too far? Because now I'm nervous. What do they want?
Climate justice.
What does that look like? I'm scared. What is, Jared, please, as our resident Greta Thunberg expert, what does climate justice look like? And should I be nervous?
You should be nervous. You have stolen dreams with your empty words.
Is this like, are they going to track down people who didn't recycle a can or something and bring them to justice?
With clubs made out of recycled material.
I don't know. I'm a little bit. I was down for like the let's make fun of the Biden administration for being phony. But the what do we want climate justice chance, that's a little much even for me. But you guys have me.
How long do you honestly believe that people in power like you will get away with it? How long do you think you can continue to ignore the climate crisis, the global aspect of equity and historic emissions, without being held accountable? You get away with it now, but sooner or later, people are going to realize what you have been doing all this time. You still have time to do the right thing and to save your legacies. But that window of time is not going to last for long.
I forgot.
Unless the Batman unmasks himself at midnight.
I forgot her Bane moment where she pretended to be a supervillain. I think there's more of these than we even know. But it reminds me, no, actually, you know what? I'm thinking of the wrong Batman. Not Bane. It reminds me of the Joker when the two ships, or am I thinking this right? The two ferries and are like in the Hudson or something. And the Joker says, you guys get to decide who's going to live. And the felons have to decide if they're going to blow up the civilians and vice versa. That's what she sounds like. You have until midnight to decide if you really believe in tree equity.
What happens then? We, the young people, are the ones who are going to write about you in the history books. We are the ones who get to decide how you will be remembered.
You know what? I am officially not going to talk about this anymore because I do not want to be on Greta's bad side. In fact, could we... Is it possible to dump 15 minutes of this past segment? Can we take this out of the podcast, please? I'm scared.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah.
There is no planet blah, blah, blah. All right. Well, I'm speechless. I don't know what else to say. 844-500-4242. But speaking of climate, this is actually a great segue. When Howie joins us, I don't know if people saw this, but there was a few climate activists, Greta Thunberg's in training, who stood outside Charlie Baker's house. And there
did
was
this just happen?
Howie's been talking about this all day long, and he's been, you know, looking at the photos. There was a pink boat outside the house. He's going to give us the whole breakdown. So we're going to end here so we have enough time to talk to the climate czar himself, Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is time for the car crossover, and it is brought to you today by Apex Entertainment and Aviva Trattoria. Both Howie and I will be broadcasting live from Apex in Marlboro this Thursday, and then at Aviva Trattoria in Malden on Friday. Both days are from 12 to 6. This is really your last opportunity to see Howie before he heads back to Florida. So come by, say hi, and get a free signed book from Howie before he leaves. And then for the rest of the year, we have to hear him brag about how he's in Florida and we're not.
Mago.
Now, Howard, thank you for joining me.
Yes.
You know what we're here to talk about. You have it in your hands. You're like a kid on Christmas Day. Tell us about the pink boat.
I got a call this morning and a guy says, I'm sending you some pictures from Swampscott. There's a pink boat has been dropped in front of Charlie Parker's mansion, his driveway. And all these hippies have chained themselves to the boat, and they're refusing to leave. And they're live stream. They, as we just found out, they're live. They were live streaming it. So we're going to pull off some sound for the show. So they drag these hippies away, and all these state cops are responding. All these cops that are going to be fired. Some of them are going to be fired, and they still. I congratulate them for, you know, being dedicated enough to show up.
Well, I mean, I've been talking about trees a lot today with the tree equity plan, but I thought people used to handcuff themselves to trees because they were, you know, attached to the ground. They were hard to get rid of. Attaching yourself to a boat, it seems like that's an easy way to move them.
You know, what's the point of putting the boat in front of his driveway? I mean, it wasn't a motorboat. You know, these are hippies, right? These are from some ecological group in New Hampshire. And so if they're complaining about carbon emissions and global warming and all that stuff, you'd think they want to get rid of a motorboat. You know, the thing is, it's a lot cheaper to buy a sailboat because nobody wants sailboats anymore. You know, I heard that down in the Cape this summer. They were saying nobody wants them. So they probably got this boat, the Climate Emergency, for like $25. And then they put it on a trailer and they drag it down and they put it in front of his driveway. And then they chained themselves to it. And then we started tweeting out all the pictures we were getting from our friend in Swampscott. And people were they were retweeting and saying, that guy looks like Biff Buffington that just got dragged off the boat.
Did they have a chant going? I find that these things tend to do well with
chants. I think they
did,
but I don't know that we have the chant yet. They were chanting something. We'll have it as the afternoon goes on. Taylor just found the live stream that they were doing. And, the big thing is it's ironic because this was shaping up as a real big day for Charlie Parker because he's got this big event tonight at the Dalton Tower, this guy named Lisciotti. He's originally from Leominster. Now he lives down. You know, yeah, that's right. He contributed money to one of the people in this room here. A grandioso, I believe. I didn't put you in the column. But he's given $12,000 to Charlie Parker, $10,000 to Polito, like $5,000 to Crash Murray, $1,500 to Mariano. He's got the super PAC. Yes, mass majority super PAC.
Hearing how the sausage gets made
mass,
here. He's going
mass,
back and forth.
Mass majority PAC, and they gave $215,000 to this 27-year-old kid who Baker has on his payroll, a guy named O'Leary. Do you know him? He set up this thing, and now they're funneling $215,000 to him. And Brian Wind, you know, he was the quote-unquote campaign manager for Baker in 2018, he got $120,000 from this pack.
So that's supposed to be today.
Yeah. So this guy, this isn't the pack money. This is like direct $1,000 contributions for pay to play and Charlie Parker tonight. That'll be, so he was going to have a really good day and he wakes up, you know, Lauren's going, wake up, you big Bendel stiff. Look what you've done now. There's a pink boat in front of the driveway. I can't get to the gym. It's a feel-good story, I'd say.
I don't think this boat is going to ruin his day the way you think it is. I mean, it's definitely not good news, but I saw the boat. It wouldn't bother me if I saw it on my front porch with a bunch of hippies, you know, telling me, what do they want him to do, the TCI thing?
I was just writing my column. I'm saying he wants to raise the gas tax from 24 cents to 62 cents a gallon. It'll be the highest gas tax in the nation. What more do they want out of the guy? He's established a police state, highest unemployment rate in the country, third highest death rate in the country, 40% of the restaurants out of business. I mean, he's implementing the Democrat agenda.
It's
going to
bring back sailboats.
You know what I think?
It is going to bring back sailboats.
Howie, I think they want less blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. I look forward to hearing the sound of the live streaming. I bet it'll be... Come out of here, man. We're out of matches, man. We got some good weed here, dudes.
Howie Carr will be coming up next. He obviously has a big pink boat show plan.
This is my kind of story.
He's beaming. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah.